To Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. We'll begin reading there in verse number 46 and read through verse 49. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through verse number 49. As you're turning to Luke chapter 6, verse 46, just want to say thank you for being here today. If you're visiting with us, we just welcome you, and we're glad that you're here, and you just come and be with us anytime, and I trust that today the Word of the Lord will be an encouragement as well as our entire worship and fellowship together. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me, please, as we begin reading in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke 6, 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. The flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Father, we're thankful for the day. We thank you for the privilege of being here, and Lord, for this beautiful sanctuary that we have and that is comfortable to worship you in. Lord, thank you. Thank you for friends and family and church family and, Lord, those that have come together today. Lord, thank you for your word that is alive and powerful. And, Lord, we ask that you would use this word, Lord, that our faith would be built. And, Father, I pray that today as you move among us, that if there's anyone here lost, that you would save them. Father, I pray if there's any here that have known you and yet have become entangled in the affairs of this life and they're backslidden, Lord, their relationship with you is not what you intend for it to be. Lord, I pray that today you'd restore the backslidden. And Father, I ask you today that you would encourage every person that's here. Lord, help us to hear what the Spirit says today. And Lord, that your word would find lodging place in our hearts to accomplish your purpose and your plan in our life. Lord, we pray now for this message. We pray for the power to preach it. God, we pray that you would give us ears to hear it and hearts to receive it, and that you would bind and break, Lord, every effort of the enemy and every stronghold of the evil one that would want to snatch it away. Oh, Lord, let your word find lodging place deep within us and change us to be more like you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. How do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're saved? Now, that's a general question to everyone, but it really deserves a personal response. Every one of us have to look within our own lives and settle this issue. First of all, am I saved? Do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I belong to the Lord? How do I know that I belong to God? How do I know that I am eternally saved by God? I think that's something that we need to settle. We need to settle it because in this life there are many things that would want to shake us in our faith, that would want to take us away from being confident in what God has done and what He's doing in our life. And so we really need to settle the issue. How do I know that I am saved? Well, if you are involved in any sort of ministry, or you're involved in very many people's lives, you'll soon find out that as you ask that question, most people in our part of the world would say, "Why, sure, I'm saved, and I joined the church one time." Amen. I belong to such and such church, or I was baptized, or I made a trip to the altar, and I prayed this prayer that the preacher led me in, or the Sunday school teacher led me in. I know I'm saved because I have done these religious type of things. I know I'm saved. I know God is real in my life because I tell you, one time I was sick. My heart was all stopped up, and the doctors took and did open heart surgery on me. God brought me through that. I remember when I was sick and people didn't know what was wrong with me. It took a while for the doctors to find it, but all of a sudden I was healed. I know that I know God. I know He's real. Sometimes we hear, "I know that not only through a miracle of healing, but you know, I know that God's real in my life. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved because I should have been dead by now. I went through a vehicle accident and God saved my life. Or I went through a incident where that just within seconds of facing a death, God rescued me out of that." Maybe it was that I was in a building that was burning and I woke up just in the nick of time and got out. I know that I'm saved. I know God. I had an encounter with Him. God done something miraculous in my life. Maybe God healed my finances through a miracle. He just all of a sudden made a way for me to have the money to pay my bills. God's helped me a lot of times in my relationship. Maybe God miraculously restored a relationship, and I know that God is real. I know Him. Here's some things. I've been teaching a Sunday school class for 25 years. How do you know you're saved? I've been singing in the choir all of my life. Right? How do you know you're saved? Well, I tell you, I've been greeting folks at the door of the church. I've been in a church for years. Hello? How do you know you're saved? You see, there are many answers to this question about how do you know that you're saved. Have you had this real life-changing experience in your life? Now, friends, I just want to say to you that it is very possible to have, and I hate to use this word, but it's very possible to have a close encounter with God and still be lost. Hell, are y'all with me? There are a lot of folks that's had encounters with God. There's a lot of folks who've had spiritual encounters. There's a lot of people who's had spiritual awakenings in their life. There's a lot of people who's had a spiritual intervention in their life. Things that's helped them. Things that's kept them alive. Things that's been unexplainable miracles are unexplainable, and there's a lot of folks who've been through those things, and they've had this encounter with God, and they realize that there is a God. They realize that God did something in their life, and they built their their thought about a relationship with God around that one encounter. But I want you to understand that folks, we can have these encounters with God and it still not change us in our life from within. Now, I do want to say to you that I realize most people, when they go through these types of encounters and realize that it's God that has worked in their life, that they do have some change of behavior. But we're not talking about change of behavior here. We're talking about a change of heart, being saved. Amen. The scripture says it's with the heart man believes unto righteousness, right? That God saves us from deep within. He does a work in our innermost being that changes us, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We receive a new nature. Amen. And boy, it wasn't easy for me to say. But anyway, you get the idea. We receive something new from within. God births in us a new birth, a new life, a new passion for Him, something that changes the way we think, the things that we desire, something that brings another awareness to us about sin in our life and about things that are wrong or against God. There's something that changes deep within. That's salvation. But friends, it's not just a change of behavior. It's a work of God in our life. Salvation is something that God does deep within us. We can have an encounter with God that affects our physical life that sometimes never affects our heart. Are y'all with me? And folks readily hold on to this experience that they've had with God. I thought about a person who was sick, and they went to the doctor, and the doctor said, okay, this is what you need to do, and maybe you had to have surgery, and this doctor did surgery and all of those things. You said, man, I tell you what, I had an encounter with this doctor, and I loved what he did so well that I married him. Hello? Now, I didn't know anything about him. Hello? I didn't know where he come from. I didn't know much about his family. I didn't know much about his habits, his ways, his character. But I tell you one thing, he did surgery on me, so I love him, and I'm going to marry him. And I married him. Amen. Now, when I married him, he wasn't really the person I wanted to be around too much. And I really did not like his family. And I didn't like those meetings every week that we had to go through, you know, that family meal every week. I didn't like those at all. It was just so boring. And, you know, I had a lot of other things to do. So I tell you what, though, I love this doctor because he did surgery on me. I love this doctor, and I tell you one thing, I'm going to stay married to him. I tell you, I just can't take much of him. Hello, y'all with me? Anybody here with me? And so I thought about somebody that would marry the doctor that did surgery on him, but didn't want to be around him, didn't want to spend time with him, and sure didn't want to spend time with their family, and really didn't want to do, didn't really like too many of the things that the doctor liked, but they really loved the fact that he did surgery on them. See, that's the way a lot of folks are with God. Now, I realize this may be a little hard for you to follow here, but try to stay with my pitiful thinking here. That's the way a lot of folks are with God. God did this healing in my life, or God worked this miracle in my life, or God brought me through this terrible accident, or God helped me so much in my financial distress, or God just miraculously gave me a better job, or whatever it else. And man, I tell you, I love God. Now, I don't know about all this Bible study stuff. I don't know about all, you know, church three times a week. Come on now, really. I mean, every week. I just can't take too much of that. I have a lot of other things to do. But I love God because He did this miracle, because He healed my body, because He helped me in my finances, or He helped me in my vocation, or whatever it was that God did. I love God for that. Hell, are y'all with me now? There are a lot of folks that are building a relationship in their mind with God because of something that God has done in their life. But they haven't had the heart change that is to accompany the work of God in their life. There's a lot of things that God does. Listen, we all live under the common grace of God. If we didn't, we'd already be in hell. Amen. For everybody that's of the age of accountability in this building today, if we did not live under the common grace of God, I'm telling you, every one of us would be in hell right now. Hello? But the very common grace of God says that even when you come to the point of knowing right from wrong and you chose to do wrong, you sinned against God, that God by His grace didn't just wipe you out and send you to hell. No. His Spirit began to deal with us and gave us opportunity to repent. And some of you in this place are lost today, and God is still dealing with you, and He's still giving you opportunity to repent and turn from your sins and turn to Him and believe Him with all of your heart that He might do a work down deep within. But the fact is that so many of us, we think about that common grace of God, and we think about, especially in this part of the world, we think about how that God has helped and God has done, and we hear such rhetoric from Christians about the work of God and the blessings of God, and we understand how that God has blessed us all in life, but we build our thought of a relationship on that rather than the work of God in my life. Friends, let me say to you today that God is infinitely more concerned about what goes on inside of us than what it goes on outside of us. Hello? Now, I know that's hard to swallow for some of you, but listen to me. God is much more concerned that we are changed from within than we are saved, that our spirit is born and healthy in a relationship with Him than it is the fact that our physical bodies are well. Hello? Why? Because this physical body, friends, you know, unless the Lord raptures us out of here, this physical body is going to die. The Spirit's going to leave this body, and this body is going back to the earth. Amen? One form or the other. We talked about that last week. But we have a hope beyond that for Christians. Amen? But God is more concerned about our relationship with Him than He is our relationship with other people. Though He expects us to have a right relationship with other people. God is more concerned about our well-being in loving Him and desiring Him more than He is blessing us financially or vocationally. Hello, are y'all with me? Now, it's not that God is unconcerned about these other things around us that affect us in our life, but the fact is that the part of our life that God is most concerned about is the eternal part of us. That we know Him from the depths of our heart. That we know that we know that we know Him. Amen? Not just what He does occasionally. Not just that He did this wonderful thing for me. But the fact that we know that we have a relationship with Him from within. Verse 46 of chapter 6 of Luke says, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Why would we attach ourselves verbally to God and not have a desire and not have a passion to do what He's called us to do? Why would we have this verbal attachment to God that says, "Oh, I love God. Oh, I know I'm saved. I tell you, God's been good to me." You see, why would we attach ourselves to God verbally when our lives tell a story that we don't love His Word because we don't study it? We don't love Him enough to talk to Him more than a few seconds before a meal. We don't love God enough to yield our bodies a living sacrifice to Him and do what He's called us to do. We don't love God enough to surrender our will to Him and say, Lord, I will go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I will be a minister to those who are hurting. I will be an encourager to those who are hurting. I'll help those. I'll use my talents for you. On and on and on. Why would we verbally attach ourselves to God and not yield our life to Him? And that's what He's saying. Why would you call me Lord, Lord? Why would you say you're my master? You're my master. And then not do what I've called you to do. It says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Now, I know the scripture already. I know Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. And I know what it says, that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. But I also know the next verse that says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, when God does something in me, it shows outside of me. And more than that, though, more than those outside works, friends, it begins to reflect the attitude by which I do them. It begins to reflect the motivation for why I'm doing them. It begins to reflect my intensity in how that I do them. Hell, are y'all with me? It says, he that not only hears my saying. There are a lot of folks that hears the sayings of God. There are a lot of folks that hear the scripture. There's a lot of folks that even know enough scripture to argue about it. Amen. But you see, it's not just about how many messages that you've heard and how many times you've read the Bible from a human perspective, but it's about what has happened to me in my life. He said, I'll show you what this person who really does what I'm calling him to do. He's like this man who's going to build a house. And look, what he did first is he digged deep. He digged deep. He dug down through all of the superficial sandy dirt that was there to get something that is solid to start the foundation on. Friends, let me tell you something. There is a ton of superficial religious activity that you can be in and not be saved. You see, you got to dig through. You got to sift through all of the superficiality, all of the real good, feel good type of things that the world wants to offer you in the realm of religious activity to get down to find out where God is, who He is, and what He is expecting in my life. If I'm going to know that I'm saved, friend, I've got to dig through all of my selfishness and all of my foolishness and all of my pride and all of my arrogance and get down to where God is. Whenever I see the plan of God for my life and say, that is what I want more than anything else. But I got to dig through a bunch of selfish junk first. And I have to see that my will is to be surrendered to Him. This man digged deep and he laid a foundation on a rock. Friends, I want to tell you something. Listen, if you just had an encounter with God where He healed you or He helped you or just where you were baptized or you went through some religious work or you've just been doing religious activities, if that's all that you've had, friends, something is desperately wrong in your relationship with God. The only way that I can know that I'm saved is the fact of what God is doing, has done, will do in my life. Way down deep. Not just on the surface, not just in the physical realm, not just about the way I act and interact with people, but what God is doing in me. What motivates me? What drives me? How do I feel about God? How do I feel about the things of God, the ways of God, the character of God, the Word of God, the people of God? How do I feel about that? I've never ceased to be amazed at people that claim to be Christians and have such a horrible opinion about God's Word and God's people. You see, this man that really hears and does and able to truly say, Lord, Lord, is one who digs through all of this worldly junk that talks about how we had this encounter with God, or that what I've done for God or what God has done for me, and get down to the core of the matter where I believe with my heart, God. And there's a passion stirred up within me. Isn't that really the scripture, though? When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? That you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your being. Hello? Deep. Deep. Not just on the surface. Not just with words. With my mouth. Not just with some activity with my hands. Not just going on a mission trip. Not just doing some activity. But digging deep. Loving God first. And because I love God, there begins to be a resulting action and reaction in my life that God begins to just seep through all the cracks in me. This man dug deep and he laid a foundation on a rock. Friends, the foundation of our relationship is how we've responded to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit in our life. Did He convict us of sin? And did we respond in true repentance and turning from our sin and turning to God with a passion to serve Him? Or did we just go through some experience and say the same? In Mark 10... we see the story of this rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and he was a good man. He was a religious man. He had done a lot of religious activity and tried his best to keep the law. And yet he come to him and said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus went through some of the commandments and he said, oh, all of these things I've done, he lied. All of these things I've done from my childhood up. And Jesus said, all right, let's get to the heart of the matter. Now, let's dig down deep. Let's dig through all the superficiality of this world and your flesh and your desires, and let's get down to the heart of the matter. Go sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Anybody remember what happened to that young man in Mark 10:22 as it's recorded there in other places? That's right. He went away sad, sorrowful, disappointed. He went away without a true, meaningful relationship with God. He went away sorrowful because he was not willing to dig down through all of the junk of the world and the material possessions that he had and lay a foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ and believe wholeheartedly upon Him. He had an encounter with Jesus, though, did he not? Hello? He talked to him, and Jesus talked to him. And the scripture says, but Jesus loved him. You'll miss that in the scripture if you're not careful. And Jesus loved him, and yet he went away sorrowful. What about those lepers that we see in Luke 17, where that there were 10 of them, and Jesus healed them, and 9 of them just walked away, and then one of them saw that he was healed, and he came back to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, but where are the 9? But then he spoke to him and he said, according to your faith, you're whole. And that word there means that he was truly whole. It wasn't just a work on the outside. It was a work on the inside. But it was 1 out of 10. 9 of them went away. They had an experience with Jesus, but they missed the greater part. That's salvation, friend. If God has helped you through an accident, if God has kept you safe in the harm's way, if God has healed your body, if God's helped your finances, wonderful, but trust Him with all of your heart. Dig through it and get down to a relationship with Him. Amen. This 9 lepers were healed and had an encounter, but they just went on with their life. Couldn't wait to get back to normal. What about that multitude that was seeking after Jesus and all of the things? And he said, you're not seeking me because you see the miracles, because you truly saw the miracles. He said, you're seeking me because you did eat of the bread. Hello? You ate of the bread. You ate and you were filled up and you were satisfied. That's the reason you're seeking. You're not seeking me because you actually saw the Son of God do a miraculous work of God. You are just wanting to be filled in the flesh. Hello? You see, friends, that's that superficial, I love God. I know I'm saved because He did this or that or something else in my life. What about Judas? Judas was a man that walked with Jesus. He was called to come alongside of Him to 3 years of ministry. He witnessed firsthand the power of God. He witnessed firsthand not only the public teaching and preaching of Jesus, but he witnessed the personal teaching of Jesus right to his own inner circle there. Judas had a true encounter with Jesus. But do you understand? Deep enough to get past his flesh and his desires to lay that true foundation. And Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss and he killed himself. Do you understand that he walked with Jesus, he heard Jesus, he saw Jesus, he had an experience extraordinaire. But he's in hell today because he didn't dig deep through all of his selfish desires and selfish motives. He was like that man in verse 49 that without a foundation, he built a house when in the ministry. He built a house doing things with Jesus. He built a house listening to the teachings of Jesus. He built a house witnessing the miracles of Jesus. He built a house on eating the miraculous bread and the miraculous fish. He built his house on everything but the foundation of Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. And he died and went to hell. When the strength upon him, when the rain came and when the flood came and friends, his experience crumbled. It crumbled. Judas might be the leading event of those that Jesus describes in Matthew 7:21. He says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, not everyone who says, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not teach in your name? Did we not do all of these works in your name? And Jesus said to him, depart. I don't know you. You see, when you build a relationship based on experience only from the outside, friends, you will be disappointed in the end. In fact, the minute you're condemned in the end. It's not about a physical experience. It's not about a mental experience. It's not about an upbringing that you have or a link to godly people in your family. It's not about any of those things. Not about your genealogy, friends. It's about digging down through all of that and laying a foundation and knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Well, I love Zacchaeus. Don't y'all love Zacchaeus? Amen. Luke 19 records the first 10 verses through that. It records how Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a thief. He did all those things. Boy, he had great wealth and pleasure and all of those sort of things. But there birthed in him a desire
to see Jesus. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, and then Jesus walked under his tree, amen, and treated him. Didn't you like that? And said, Zacchaeus, come on down here. I'm going to your house. And he went to Zacchaeus' house, and boy began to share with him, and all of a sudden conviction got over Zacchaeus, and he dug deep. He dug through all of his own selfish desires. He dug through all of his own selfish motives. He dug through all of his riches, and he saw that they meant nothing in the face of a relationship with this Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden he begins with this confession. I'm going to give back to the poor. That which I've stolen. What was all of that about? It was about repentance. He was digging through all of that. And Zacchaeus, a despised tax collector, came away changed, saved, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, what about that woman at the well in John chapter 4? That woman that was living a despised lifestyle, that when Jesus came along and began to share with her, she began to see something in him that she had never, ever seen before. And she dug through all of her illicit relationships. She dug through all of her fleshly desires. She dug through everything of lying and cheating and all of those things that go along with her lifestyle. She dug through all of that, and she got way down deep, and she heard the word of the Messiah. She believed on him, and the scripture said she didn't just stay like she was. No. She said, I've heard the Messiah. And it changed her life. Friends, she didn't just get involved in religious works. You hear me? She didn't just try to go down to the synagogue and join up. Amen. She didn't just try to go get baptized. No, what'd she do? She went out and started telling people, I have found the Messiah. And people began to believe. It was a work that went down deep in her life. It wasn't superficial. What about those thieves on the cross? Two of them there. One of them rails upon Jesus. In fact, if we look at the scripture, both of them were railing on him at first. And then all of a sudden, one comes to his senses and he said, wait a minute, we're getting exactly what we deserve. Here's repentance, confession. We're getting exactly what we deserve. This man, he's done nothing. Amen? And he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing who he is. He digs deep all the way through all of his misgivings and all of his sins and all of his robbery and all of his blasphemy and everything. He digs way down deep and he believes with his heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, oh, would you just remember me today? And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Do you understand, friends, that's more than just an experience with Jesus? It's developing a relationship from the heart. We have to dig deep. How do I know that I'm saved? I know, friends, because you dig down through all the issues of life. And what motivates you, what drives you, what dominates your way of thinking and your actions is the Spirit of God and the Word of God simply abiding in you. How did I know that I'm saved? I know that I'm saved. And Dr. Mickey Bonner, one of my mentors, used to say, I know I'm saved because I can't get away with a thing. Amen? I mean, God knows me. Why? He's in me. Amen. When I sin, it grieves the Spirit of God. When I am disobedient, it grieves the Spirit of God. And it grieves me from within. It's not that somebody has to tell me from the outside. It's about the Spirit of God on the inside. The Scripture said we must confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Amen. That submits our life to Him. That commits our life to Him. But we must believe that God has raised Him from the dead with our heart, not just our head. Friends, I want to ask you this morning again, do you know that you're saved? How do you know it? What basis, what foundation do you have for salvation? Is it born again? Do you know that you're saved? Is it in the flesh? Is it in the mind? Is it in the relationship? Is it in the finances? Is it in the healing? Or is it in the heart? Is it in the heart? God's doing work in my heart. I know I'm saved because God is working in me. Way down deep. Let's stand together.